It's no, it's good. It's, you know, good morning again. A great Christmas Eve service, and I don't know if I've ever done a Christmas Eve service, so it kind of threw me off. You know, kind of getting involved with it all. But I was thinking about life. I was thinking about the incredible, you know, gift that Jesus was, how he came about. You know, I mean, the life he led, and I got to thinking, you know, with everything else going on in the world. You know, right now we have all the college playoffs. We have Super Bowl coming up. We have, you know, there's all these discussions over who's the greatest, you know, who's the greatest quarterback that's ever been. Who's, it can be in any area of our lives too, you know, in the sense of who's the greatest band that's ever been. You know, is it Eagles? Is it the Beatles? Is it, you know, is it Taylor Swift? I mean, you know, it just, I mean, there's these discussions of who is the GOAT, which for the longest time, I didn't even know what GOAT meant. I thought that was a derogatory term that somebody was using until I went, oh, greatest of all time. Okay, that's cool. You know, we think about these things, and we can even dream and fantasize about how we could be that, you know, that the greatest of all time. You know, maybe it's at our work, or maybe it's at home as a spouse, as a dad. We want to be that, don't we? We want to be this hero, something that's outside of the norm of where we are. Even though we dream and, you know, and wish about these things, we never really, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but we never really wish that we're the worst at something, do we? Man, I wish I was insignificant. You know, I dream about being unloved. You know, we just don't even go there unless Satan puts it in our minds, right? Satan has a field day with us in those areas. But for us, in our own nature, we never really go down that path. We never dream that for ourselves. We dream the amazing dreams. Even in our, I'll call it our imaginative worlds, whether we're playing a game, you know, a virtual game, whether we're playing role-playing, you know, whether we're playing, you know, watching or reading a book, you know, that is our kind of our favorite genre, or maybe it's a TV series that we're watching. We never dream about being useless, you know, or being low impact, or really just insignificant. Our dreams are always about something greater, always about being the hero that we've always wanted to be, right? We want to relate with that we want to kind of invest in that. Something about being a hero, you know, being feared by the bad guys and respected by the good. I don't know what it is. There's just something that moves my heart when I'm going, that's the life I want to live. That's the purpose I want to have in this life. I, you know, take on any monster that I'm facing, you know, in the world. You know, rescue a village, you know, rescue a damsel in distress. It doesn't really matter. Those are the things that we think about and gravitate towards, not the worst. Yeah. But we don't live in that imaginative world, do we? Or at least I hope we don't, right? Right? Okay. All right. Just checking. I thought maybe I'm in the wrong crowd here. No, but we live in actually one that's far more sinister and far uglier than the worst ones that we can imagine. And I know we can imagine a lot, you know, with our imaginations, but the evil that we face here on earth is far more eternal. We can't hit the reset, pause, you know, roll a dice to save our life, whatever it might be, you know, I mean, cast it. This is real. This is the stuff that we're locked into and what we face. But the question is, even though we dream this and we want to be all this, why don't we take on that role of the hero? Why do we avoid that role? You ever wondered that? You know, I mean, we kind of go, maybe not. We spend countless of hours dreaming about it. Why don't we want to live it out? Why won't we pursue it? Satan's greatest fear, you guys, is that you were to wake up, that we were to wake up from that false narrative that we are nobody, that we are insignificant, that we are going to come out of that in some way and go, I'm not going to live in that world anymore. The imaginative one, or the one that he's created in my mind that I'm insignificant. I don't matter. He wants us to wake up from it. I mean, Satan doesn't want us to wake up from that. God does, though. God is always calling us out into the real truth of what we're facing. And Satan wants to mask it. He wants to hide it from us. He wants to cover it in a sense of darkness that we can't see the real truth around us. Now, assuming you want to be heroes in all these areas, anyone? Anyone want to change out and kind of take on that role? Okay, two of us, okay. All right, Joey, too, good. That's the leader of the church, it's good to know you want to. No, but yeah, you know, I'm going to give us three challenges. I'm going to give us three challenges today. Okay, the first one is, it's a hard one, to wake up. Wake up. John 11. I want you to turn over to John 11. Starting in verse 9. Tell me when you're there. John 11, starting verse 9. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let's go to him." You know, I love how Jesus starts out here, starts off right off the bat saying, there's a difference between light and day. There's living in the daylight and living in darkness.
Yeah.
And more importantly, what we do in the light matters so much more than what we do in the darkness. Jesus states over and over in the gospel what? That he is what? The light of the world. And anyone that follows him walks in the light with him, right? Over and over. Are we living God's plan and within that world that he created, the light world, or are we trapped in the darkness that Satan has surrounded us? Which one? This part reminds me of the verse in Psalms 107. If you want to turn over, I'll tell you what, I can read it real quick. Psalms 107, starting in verse 10. It said, "Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High." Why do we sit in darkness?
Trapped by it.
What else? What's that?
It's easier.
It's easier, true. But he says we're rebelling. We're basically saying, no, I don't want to come into the light, God. He says they're rebelling. You know, we're rebelling against God's plans for our lives and not embracing them. We think what we want to do is better than what God has created for us. So we replace that. And we rebel against God and his commands. There's a chemical recovery book that you probably are familiar with, maybe, maybe not, that is titled after that, "Some Sat in Darkness." It can apply to so many other areas of our life in terms of addiction. Things that control us. Addiction is basically things that control us and not us it. So anything that's got us in that way, we're kind of addicted. We're kind of hooked, locked in that, or trapped by it. You know, and even in this verse, and we're reading it, not the one before, that Satan, that's right, Satan, Satan tricks us into believing that spiritual sleep is good. Take some time off. Just coast for a while. You don't need to be, just rest. You need to take a break. From your purpose. It'll recharge your batteries. You know, our purpose of loving God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving our neighbor. Just take some time. Sleep it off. You'll get better. But we know that's a lie, don't we? We know it's the exact opposite. The more we drift from God, the darker it becomes in our life. And the more we walk towards God, and the light that he brings and his purpose for our lives, the brighter and the more fulfilling our lives become. Instead of it being these shallow, you know, places that we enjoy the moment of whatever it is. It could be a moment of a lustful response, leveling up your character. You know, I mean, there's all these things that we can just kind of get our joy out of. Finishing a book and going, I can't wait for the next one. You know, or the series, you know, that you get caught in on TV that you're going, that was awesome. I can't wait for the next one. We're drifting further and further from the reality of who we are and going into something different. But before we can do anything, though, we first need to wake up. We're either in the darkness or we're moving towards it. And we have to remember that. And so this is what we have to do, which is my second point, is remember who you are. I love the scene in Batman where, you know, he goes, who are you? What's he say?
I'm vengeance.
No, I'm Batman. You know, I'm Batman. He knew, even though he's pretending to be Bruce Wayne in the background, he knew exactly who he was and the purpose that he was about. His focus was very clear, and he wasn't going to be distracted by anything. Even though he knew that he lived in this other world, his purpose was very clear and focused. His whole life that he built around that was really about going after his purpose. Is that us? Is that our life? Do we build our lives around that purpose of being a child of God? Do you remember what the purpose was? Sometimes we can even get to that point where we go, why am I doing all this? What am I here for? We can pretend to simply be coworkers, employees. We can be, you know, shoppers, hikers, gamers, fathers, spouses, grandparents. We can be all these things and pretend like this is all life is about. This is all our life is for, is just to go through it, at the end of it, flip the switch, and it's over. But that's not what God says, is it? That's not what he's called us to. That focuses on just serving ourselves and our own happiness. Not really about focusing on God's purpose, which is what? Reaching out, seeking and saving the lost. That's the purpose he's given us. From the moment he met the disciples, you know, his disciples, I'm going to make you fishers of men, until the end in Matthew 28, you know, where he's going, go and make disciples. Teach them to obey. You know, I mean, I love that Jesus is clear about why we're here. Every reason why we're here. But do we believe that? Do we embrace that same mindset? I want you to turn over to Galatians 4. Galatians chapter 4. Let me know when you're there. Good. All right. Starting in verse 4. It says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. Okay, now that's my Christmas pitch right there. That's about the only thing I'm going to talk about in Christmas here is the birth of... Okay. Back to this. Redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son to live in our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir. You know, as a brand new Christian, fresh out of the waters of baptism, I was so excited to understand that God actually loved me. You know, that after all the stuff that I felt like I had done, I went, there's just no way he could ever love me. You know, and yet he's going, yeah, in fact, I'm going to send my son, the Spirit of my son, to live in your heart as well. Not only am I going to adopt you as my son, I'm going to send my real son to live inside of you. And I don't know, there's something about that that just, I don't know, pumps me up, you know. Let me back up. That pumped me up, past tense, pumped me up when I learned that. I was so excited, so fired up about all of this. I was fearless and confident, knowing that God was with me. That didn't matter what happened on earth, man, my place in heaven was locked in tight. That just changes who you are when you have that confidence, doesn't it? When you have that, when you embrace that fully. We go into this, I guess I'd call it, you know, kind of a spiritual beast mode. When we're in that, you know, or probably the better term would be Christ mode. You know, in the sense where we go, man, I'm invincible. You know, I'm God's, you know, son. How do you stand against something like that? You know, the infamous, who are you? Man, I'm a Christian. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I can't say it. You say it again. I'm Jesus. I mean, I'm a disciple. You know, there's so many examples in the Bible of people who encounter Jesus and go into Christ mode. You know, we all like to think about the ones that, you know, earth shattering, you know, the, you know, change the world and everything. I like the little ones. I like the, you know, in John 9, the man born blind. Jesus heals and he's end up brought before the Pharisees to question. And what's he say? He goes, what, do you want to become one of Jesus' disciples too? I mean, it's like this you know, guy that was intimidated and meek and everything just suddenly going, you know what, he healed me. He was fearless. I love that. I love in John 4, the Samaritan woman who, adulteress and just a mess, you know, in her life, encounters Jesus and goes into Christ mode, you know, and goes back and she flips her whole city upside down. And the whole city is coming out to get to know Jesus. Probably the least capable person Jesus takes and makes the most powerful and flips the whole city upside down on its ears. I love those examples. We tend to gravitate towards the big guys that, you know, already do something amazing, and yet, you know, I mean, often I'll use Paul as the example. You know, you go, here's the Pharisee of Pharisees, he's got all this, but he actually has to crush him first and then raise him back up to go, now you can work for me. Now you can do some amazing things because I had to get you out of the way. But he, you know, he's had all the training, but I love the little stories because it reminds me of us. Reminds me that we're not all that in a bag of chips. We're just a bag of broken chips that we get to be a part of what God uses in our lives. However, the next two verses also gives us a warning of what we need to be very careful of. Verse 8 says, formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by Him, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? Gah. You know, I mean, we go from one extreme to the other, don't we? Yeah, the heir, son of God, everything, and then he switches that and goes, yeah, but be careful that we don't shift back, that we don't forget who we are, that we don't lose sight of our purpose. And that we end up going right back into the world and repeating everything that we were before, that we hated, that we are so excited and happy to be out of. Instead, we go back to it. It can lure us back. The world can lure us back, can't it? It can pull us back in. We can lose our spiritual mojo, if you will, and forget who we are. Even Peter, you know, who claimed, I'll never deny. I'll go to my death before I deny you. And, you know, John 18, you know, denied him three times in John 18. But Jesus restored him in John 21. So it's like we've never crossed the line. You know, even Lazarus, it's like, actually, I'm almost happy that he was dead. So now that I can really show you that who I am and what I'm capable of. It's the same thing in our lives. It doesn't matter where we might feel we're at. God can wake us up. God can bring us back from the dead. Just like Peter, you know, he reinstates him. And then Peter goes into Christ mode and all in Acts, doesn't he? I mean, he goes from, oh, I'm the worst of the worst. I denied Christ. I'm just going to go back to fishing. The lure of the world, right? I'm just going to go back to fishing because I messed up. And Jesus is like, no, use that to your strength, not your weakness. When we fail, it makes us stronger. If we rise up, if we wake up from it and shake it off and go out there. And that wasn't a Taylor Swift thing. It had nothing to do with that. I want you to know that. It's never too late. It's never too late. So ask yourself, have you allowed the world to enslave you all over again? Is there anything in your life that you go, I've allowed Satan, the world, to enslave me all over again in it? I've left behind my first love and I've drifted back. Is there anything there that has happened? The only way you're going to get back is through Jesus. Just like Lazarus or anyone else, Peter, everyone, the only way back is through Jesus, through prayer, fasting, studying it out with somebody else. I mean, there's so many things that needs to happen. Confession. It also gives us clarity as to why we're here, which is my last point. Remember why you're here. 2 Corinthians 5. Why don't you turn over to that if you can. Let me know when you're there. How are we doing? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All right, starting verse 14. It says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." There's a lot to think about in there. There's a lot that's being laid out there that we kind of go, okay, we're ambassadors? Wait a minute. You know, we are the righteousness of God. God is making his appeal through us. And again, it all ties back into the purpose that God has given us. The reason we're really here on earth, the reason we're meant to be heroes, is to save and to reach out. We're not here to level up our character, are we? You know, I mean, it's fun. We enjoy games and stuff. It's not here to finish that another novel. Yes, it's good. It's fun. But our purpose is to go and seek and save those, not to live vicariously through this. We're to walk in the light, as we saw in the very first, while it's still day for us, while we're still alive. You know, because once darkness comes, you know, when we sleep, then that time is up. So let's make the most of the light and what God is putting us in here. Why we were created in the first place. To go and rescue as many, to go Christ mode and rescue as many as possible for Jesus. Because they're trapped, just like we were, in that darkness of Satan. And we're grateful, right? Yeah. We're grateful. You know, and man, that's, I keep thinking of the person that reached out to me, and I'm going, man, I am so grateful to that person. Yeah, I'm grateful to God. God is the one that truly forgives. God is the one that truly brings me into his presence. But he used somebody to reach out to Steph and I, and we're so grateful for that. Again, there's nothing wrong with playing a game. There's nothing wrong with reading a book. There's nothing wrong with watching TV. You know, there's all these things that we kind of go, well, I really enjoy doing. There's nothing wrong with it. If it doesn't put you to sleep spiritually, if it isn't unplugging you from the world, if it becomes your source of happiness, if it's the TV, you know, I can't wait to that, you know, I got to get home tonight and what, you know, if that becomes where we get our joy, then it is a problem. Then it is something. If it's stealing our spiritual joy and fervor. If not, or if it is, then it might be time to wake up. I think of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:31 is really the best approach when we're trying to figure out, is this good or not? It says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. You know, if what we're doing brings God glory, then enjoy it. Love it. If it's stealing God's glory, then it's probably not something we want to stick with, right? We want to kind of make some changes. If life seems a little spiritually dark right now at the moment, and maybe you feel like you've lost your spiritual mojo, you know, you're just kind of feeling like, man, that's honestly, for the last 3 years, I was struggling with this, kind of bumping through this, you know, going, really, God, this is it? This is my lot in life, you know? And you just felt like something's missing. I felt like I had lost that spiritual mojo in my life. I want you to remember those three things, though, when you think about it. One, wake up. Remember who you are, and remember why you're here. Now, if you're sitting there going, man, I'm on it, I feel great, everything is just the way it's supposed to be, and dang, I've nailed it, then, hey, amen, keep going. Keep doing what you're doing. You're bringing God glory in every aspect of your life. If not, if you're feeling like I was feeling, and you know, reach out. You know, it starts with your relationship with God. It starts with getting back there. It starts with pulling people in, studying, reading your Bible, praying again, fasting. There's so many pieces of this. Getting and studying it out with people, asking them, hey, help me out. I want out of this. I'm drifting into the shadows. Bring me back into the light. Help me find that joy again. Because it's what we were created for. It doesn't matter if you're ordinary or extraordinary. God has been longing to say, this is my son or daughter whom I'm well pleased. See, that's what makes a hero the greatest in God's eyes. Then the only thing that really matters. So, amen? Amen. Amen.